You're listening to the premier podcast for professional leaders by other professionals. We're going to be talking to the best of the biz about what they've learned along the way in their careers. We'll be giving you easy to understand tips that you can take and impact your business. Let's go. Welcome back to another episode of 343. I'm Kirk Glidden, your host for the show. And on today's show, we've got a very unique guest. Typically on 343, we talk about different business topics, and sometimes they're specific, sometimes it's bigger picture. And what I really like about today's guest is that he's going to bring perspective that takes in an idea, a way of thinking that allows us to consider where we're headed and think about what our talents are in life and what's that's going to lead for the next period of time. And I think right now, as we're still in this COVID period, this is something that's really critical to understanding. A lot of people are resetting their lives, resetting the way that they want to head. You know, folks that have been, say, running a business or happily employed and are now looking for different avenues for their life and for some sort of a professional career, saying, okay, this is a good chance to start from scratch and go a different direction. So today for the show, I've got Jeeg Wiles. And Jeeg is the voice, caretaker, and keeper of Chronicles for Ahab's Adventures. So an average year for Jeeg and his partner consists of such undertakings as jumping out of planes, rafting gnarly whitewater rapids, swimming at Black Canyon National Park, taking in historic buildings at Stockholm, and visiting places around the world, having experiences that this is certainly most of us don't get to do in the normal day. So what is this all about? All right, so his companion is Captain Ahab, who is a 3-foot-tall, 40-pound, bright yellow wooden fisherman, and as he describes it, wannabe pirate captain. All right, and so they are on a mission to motivate others by showing that if Captain Ahab can conquer his bucket list, that anyone can blast through their excuses and commandeer their life. All right, so the business innovation behind Ahab's Adventures challenges the status quo, as does the way that Jeeg and Captain Ahab approach every single activity, interaction, and idea. Of course, this lawn gnome was never intended to be to live this kind of a life that Captain Ahab does live, nor should he be allowed to get behind so much red tape and accomplish these goals. But this is, as we call it, the dynamic duo between Captain Ahab and Jeeg. Their entrepreneurial, anything's possible thinking, it really opens doors, as would any that would otherwise be remaining closed. So Jeeg has been able to inspire others by this extraordinary combination and experience and allow people to understand what's possible. And that's really the topic we're going to look at today. And I should mention that outside of this professional life, that Jeeg is really, as he describes it, a cross between a whitewater raft guide and a biology lab technician. So now that you've heard all of that and are still digesting that, Jeeg, welcome to the show.
Cheers, Kurt. Nice to be chatting again.
Absolutely. So this is a lot of interesting information. So can you give us, before we get into these tips, can you give us just some kind of perspective of how you got started with this adventure with Ahab?
Yeah, so Captain Ahab's first adventure with my family was back in the 40s. In World War II, my grandfather was in the Navy, and it was a common prank before you left port to commandeer something from the town, one to distract the crews away from the very serious task they had. And just to, like I said, it's the night before you leave port to go to war. You know, everybody needed something to think about. So my grandfather and his comrades commandeered Captain Ahab, made him a stowaway on the ship. And the whole point was to bring him back with a scrapbook and leave it on the lawn, so there would be a story with the statue that wasn't just he's a lawn gnome. But unfortunately, they had so much fun with him, we'll say, that they never returned him. They got quite inebriated that night and couldn't find the yard a year and a half later. So instead, these men evolved the caretaking of this gnome, the adventure that they just had. They decided to do it annually. And for 59 years following that day in the 40s, they got back together every summer and took him on another adventure. And when I was 10 years old, I stumbled upon the card game that decided where these adventures would take place. And 9 years later, after being able to listen to all their stories and adventures with him, they passed them on to me. And that was 18 years ago. And through my journeys with them, I've sort of learned all of these things, all these lessons that they didn't really get to teach me, because we've had, you know, things like cameras and the internet and things to sort of expand on the story. But I've learned a lot of things that have helped me craft it into a business now. So monetarily, Ahab can keep himself going on these adventures without having to, you know, us work twice as hard and spend twice as much. Now it's fully self-contained and self-sustaining.
So was this idea to take Captain Ahab on adventures, was that something that you hoped or thought might be an actual business venture when you started on it? Or did this, is this something that was really more that happened naturally, where it was just kind of a hobby or something that you enjoyed doing?
Yeah. So with my grandfather, it was just, we call it a life hobby. It was an excuse for him and his buddies to get together every year, no matter what, because they were always like, Ahab has to go to this place or there. So it wasn't just saying, hey, you want to help me do something? It was, no, Captain Ahab's going to do it. And I know nobody can see him, you know, on the podcast, but he's a 40-pound humongous chunk of wood. So it's not just like a teddy bear you put in a backpack. And as I, over the years with me, I would trade the story about his origins for a picture with whoever heard it. And as I met more people and did more things, more and more people started, you know, networking with us and saying, oh, we've always wanted to do this. Or, oh, my brother works at this national park or works at this school. You should tell the story there and things. And it just naturally turned into, evolved into this sort of gig where we can speak at universities and businesses and high schools and such. And that fills the coffers for us to then take Ahab more and more places. Or on the way to these speaking engagements, we create content on the road as we go there. So it just fuels itself and it keeps going back and forth now.
Now, I first encountered you, Jig, when you were in Akron a few years ago for a TEDx speech. And so we got a chance, I got a chance to see Captain Ahab and you at, you know, within your environment and talking about that. And we'll make sure that everyone that's listening to this right now, make sure to check out the link so that you can see some pictures. And we'll talk about getting over to the website as well, because you have to visually, you have to see this as well to really kind of get the scope of it. But what we want to talk about this first here is what we want to find out from Jig and his partner is thinking about life and business planning in a different way. As I was starting to set up before, right now, a lot of things, it's really about perspective, understanding different ways of thinking about things. So the question that we want to bring out and the advice that we want to get from Jig is some tips, some advice on how to approach things from a completely different way of looking at things and what it takes to do that and have some sort of success in that, whether it's monetarily or just personally. So Jig, let me turn it over to you. What would be your first tip?
Yeah. So, and you briefly mentioned this earlier, like Captain Ahab has always had a bucket list one way or another. And I never realized how important it was to sort of write down your goals, because every once in a while you'll think back on that thing you've always wanted to do since you were a kid. And it's 5 years later than the last time you thought of it, or so on and so forth. But when my grandfather and his naval buddies there gave me Captain Ahab, they left me this exercise and, you know, like critical thinking and playing to my passions. Because Ahab's a wannabe pirate because they were all in the Navy and they missed piracy by a good 250, 300 years. But they got to pretend when they were out on the boat. This is sort of the modern day pirate being, you know, in the Navy. And then when I got them, that's why I raft guide in the summers and would do things of that nature. So I wanted to be a marine biologist going to school. It was just sort of like the modern day pirate, but enjoying what you do for work is really what it was. But with the bucket list, they would always say, like, if you want to do this, if you write it down, you'll see that this task in 2 years, you know, matches up with something you wrote down a week ago, and you can do them together and things, and just having everything organized and in a row sort of helps you get them done. And especially now with COVID, some of the things we wrote down as like a wish list for the next 5 years, so many things have been delayed that we got to start projects that we weren't planning on starting because we had it set up for, you know, if we had a block of time that we could use or things like that.
Is there a good example of one of those that you've been able to accomplish during this period of time that you wouldn't have otherwise?
So as we were talking about, Ahab's 40 pounds and I shoulder him, you know, like an 80s style boombox, if that reference isn't too old. But so without being able to go places or thinking about as I get older, not being able to carry him like I do or passing him on eventually to the next caretaker, we've been dabbling with silversmithing. Or the idea of it, or something where it's not as heavy, but still can give more life to this business, this hobby, where we started making like pirate silver, pirate coins, and things like that. So people have like a pocket reminder of a dream they want to pursue or things like that, just something in your pocket that's always reminding you. But like I said, I was waiting until, for lack of a better word, I was retiring from carrying Ahab around to do that as sort of the next hobby to master. But now, since we're delayed in traveling, you know, leaving the country or even going on a road trip or speaking at universities and things like that, we've just started that project a lot earlier. And I've reworked my garage into the shop, and we're starting that whole process. So we're going to incorporate it, you know, almost a decade or two sooner than normal.
Which seems like it's going to open up a lot of opportunities for you. You know, part of that experience is, I know that when you're in a room with Captain Ahab, and most people want to get a picture with him, I would imagine that's a common request you get. But to have that take behind or take away, a leap behind a kind of object, you know, it works as like a challenge coin, where it's something that you keep with you. And as you're describing it, then you think about what you want to accomplish. So just the mere fact of what you're, how you're shifting things here, it led to some new opportunities, I would imagine.
Yeah, no, definitely. And I mean, we're in the works. Next month, I'm going to start actually smithing these things myself, and we'll see how it goes. But it was always on the board, but it never was at the forefront. That was always like, oh yeah, we'll get to that eventually type of thing. And now it's almost a priority over so many things because everything else is delayed.
Yeah. Well, and coming back to your original tip here, which is creating that bucket list, but we've all heard that phrase of creating a bucket list, but I think we think about that in a personal kind of way. You know, if you think about that in more of a professional way, it brings in life goals with something that is tangible and from a business perspective. And most people out there have read plenty of business books here and there, and they mention these things, but meshing them together, I think it's a great idea to bring what you the direction you really want to head to in life to some sort of reality at this point. So that's pretty cool. I like that. I think I'm going to start working my own professional bucket list. Do you, one more follow-up question, Jigan, that is, do you use any kind of a certain tool for, your bucket list? Is there an app or is there a notebook, or what works best for you?
So I always have it's like a 4x4 inch notebook in my back pocket, just because when we're on the road, Ahab's bucket list is compiled of everybody else's bucket list. That way, when we complete something, there's always somebody we can reach out to ask if they want to join us or be a part of it, or look, Ahab's done it, so now there's your excuse type of thing. But our bucket list is just public on ahabsadventures.com. It's just hundreds of items long. And then we have boards all over our office and workshop about all the projects we have going. But yeah, we like to have lots of lists all over the place.
All right, good. All right, so number one, creating that personal professional bucket list. So what would be the second one?
I think it would be letting curiosity sort of work for you. I think I was listening to a couple podcasts before I came on, and was it Kara Buckler? I might have said her name wrong. Yep. But she was talking about piquing others' curiosity and mentioned briefly, I think she mentioned this skill. But the best part about Ahab is I get to walk by people and doing, you know, going to see these places and things, and I'm just carrying him, and we're not pitching or looking at people and saying like, please ask, we want to tell you. We let curiosity get the better of them, and they undoubtedly just say, okay, what's up with the gnome, or what are you doing? Which leads to a very genuine conversation, because you're not being pitched to or feeling like you need to interact. People interact. Sometimes we see them on the way up to something and they don't talk to us until the way back down, but it gives everybody enough time to be curious and comfortable within themselves. Like I said, it leads to just bonding that's even stronger and lasts longer because it was so genuine in the way we interacted. It's not, you know, we don't care about each other's politics or you know, our lives outside of this conversation so much. And then it's just true to how we interact in the future, just helping Ahab do another task or helping you do something else. But it's just being outside of your comfort zone. And if you're curious about something, don't wait until it passes by and then say, oh, I saw something today, but I didn't ask about it. It's always let curiosity get the better of yourself, really.
So it's also, I can see it's working on both sides. And as you're starting and ending, I should say, as you're ending to the explanation of that, I'm thinking to myself, all right, so I like the fact that you're talking about if you see something that you don't understand or that piques your interest, ask about it. Ask about it right then. But as you're beginning to talk about it, I'm thinking to myself, well, how can you have some element of what you do that is your own twist, your own flair to it that makes people ask about it, which is what you're doing.
Yeah, well, I mean, yeah, it could be. I mean, obviously, I have Captain Ahab, and it's just an all-star of an icebreaker, we'll say. But, right, you know, some people wear funny shirts or a unique hat, or think about it. If you see somebody walking a dog, or, you know, if you're a pet lover, that always starts a conversation. Yeah. But it's just one of those like, oh yeah, it's so hot today. Like the weather conversation that starts an awkward conversation. And after you get by that first little bit of awkwardness, no matter what it is or what started the conversation, you start to have that more genuine one. So yeah, it could be something you carry. It could be something you wear. You know, change the color of your hair a little bit, just anything that gets somebody to talk to you, or vice versa. Find that about somebody, a compliment, or, you know, a smile at somebody that just starts a conversation.
So you've had probably thousands of people stop you and ask you about Captain Ahab. Do you have an experience or two that has led to a particular memory or a door that's open that would never have happened otherwise?
Yeah. I mean, our first speaking engagement was because I met the dean of the college at Yellowstone with his family. I had no idea who they were or what they were doing. It was just a nice family. And they asked, and I took a picture, and, you know, the kids had fun with Ahab because they're about the same height and things like that. And then he said, you know, I'm a dean of students at this university in Colorado. I'd love to have you come speak. I'm sure you do this with your story. And that was before we'd ever really thought about that avenue to take with Ahab. We'd always love sharing the story, but we didn't have a business model of where we wanted it to be after so long. And that really opened the door to a whole another realm of this adventure. But a lot of the times when we meet people, they say, oh, my brother works at a brewery, or, you know, the things like that, where it's just like, you should bring them there, and they'll give you the behind the scenes type of thing, or behind the red tape that everybody else gets. And that's what happens a lot in our networking with strangers.
Yeah. Being able to walk up, whether it's in the factory or getting the, as you say, the behind the scenes tour of stuff can really be a lot of fun. You know, I worked a lot of years as a journalist and as a magazine editor, and got those kind of experiences as well. And being able to share that with others, I mean, it just shares that joy and that pleasure of that. All right. So making sure that you are letting curiosity work for you is the second tip on the list here. So what would be your third tip?
The third one is about how people make excuses all the time. You know, like, I don't have the time or the money, or my partner might get mad at me, or whatever your excuse may be. It's if you're sitting around the table trying to think of the excuse to make your plan work, no matter how hard it is, that's when things actually get accomplished. Because, you know, everybody's been in that meeting where you go in, you know what you need to get done is not where the conversation's going to go, but everybody's going to sit there anyways and just sort of not talk about the elephant in the room. Where when we sit down, we're like, okay, we want to get him, you know, we want to bring him to, there's so many things we could think of. Like, I want to throw him out of a plane, right? Go skydiving. How are we going to convince a skydiving company to do this with us? And so the liability works and everything like that, instead of being like, oh, they can't control, he's a huge block of wood, somebody might, headbutt them and knock themselves out mid-fall type of, you know, it's, yeah. It's finding the excuses to make your, that task actually come to life. So many times, like I said, you'll just be in a meeting and people are just, they're finding an excuse to get out of the work that has to be done instead of taking less time and finding a more practical solution to their problem. Right. So yeah, I use excuses to get things done instead of to delay or put them off.
And so how's the process with getting a skydiving opportunity going? I think that's an interesting one.
Yeah, so we've done it twice with Ahab now, both with Jumptown and Orange Mass. They're pretty awesome. One time we just sort of showed up and said, we'd like to do this. We will stand here until we can figure this out type of, you know, like we'll keep coming back until, you know, we put in enough time to figure this out. And then after that, we actually did a group adventure with about a dozen people and we brought them back and they got a deal to come with us because the company actually loved Ahab so much. They're just like, yeah, bring them back. It's been a while. Bring as many people as you want. And we made a sort of a group promotional thing out of it with the company. So it's, it keeps growing in terms of that business anyways.
So did, and I'm just curious now, did Captain Ahab need to have some sort of a particular, was he strapped in or how'd that work?
Yeah. So he went tandem and it was a lot of rope and zip ties and a harness. It was definitely, he doesn't have the figure to go skydiving or fit into the harness, we'll say.
Right. Right.
But yeah, I've gotten to work with businesses like Smarties and Red Bull and Mega Bloks. And like I said, countless breweries always have fun with them. They seem to be pretty outgoing people. So it's real easy. We don't need too hard of an excuse to get in there. But, you know, rafting companies, anything you possibly think of, we worked out an arrangement where, you know, like we said, we found the excuse to make it happen instead of taking the easy way out, saying, oh, we've never done that before, so we should never do it in the future.
Yeah, yeah. I remember when we started up this podcast a few years ago, we had one of our employees said, we like this idea and the concept, but let's start small. I mean, it's not like we're going to get LeBron James on the podcast. And, mm-hmm. If you're listening to this and you're not familiar with the LeBron James Akron connection, well, his foundation is just down the road from us, a very, very local guy. And no matter where he's playing basketball, I thought to myself, well, that's not the right way of approaching it. We need to, I mean, not that he's the perfect guest for our show, not that I want to go out superstar seeking, but doesn't matter who it is. You ask the question, you find out, and you get an answer one way or the other. Sometimes the door doesn't always open, but if that door doesn't open, then at least you've got the experience to know how you can approach it next time to get something else to open.
Yeah, exactly. And looking back at all these tasks, we've done over 200 different adventures all over the place. And when you look back, there's no way I would have said, oh, we're going to go do this. And this is exactly how it's going to happen. When you look back, it's like that happened because that was luck. That was because we asked. That was, you know, there's always, you couldn't have written the playbook to get that accomplishment done. But when you look back, you're like, you have to make those excuses, like we were saying, to get to the next breadcrumb that leads you to your goal.
So as you look back on the experiences that you've had, is there one where if you looked at it right now and said, excuse me, if you, several years ago, I would never have thought this would have happened. I don't know how I would have gotten that to happen. Is there one that you like, is almost, you think to yourself, wow, this is really a great accomplishment for this to work out.
It's not a coincidence just because we're talking and you're from Akron, but like the TEDx Akron, when Sam and Ned got a hold of me and said that I was given a spot to speak, you know, when I started this and telling the story, I didn't think I'd be able to do a TED talk or, you know, it just seemed like so far out of reach. And then all of a sudden I was in Chile at the time when they got a hold of me, we were trekking through Patagonia with Ahab. And they got a hold of me, told me that we were in, and it was crazy to see. A lot of times, we've been to Akron three times now, and each time it's sort of been like a stepping stone. There's always some transition when we somehow network back to Akron that things get bigger or that leads to something we never would have thought of. So yeah, the TEDx talk, I never thought, like, Ahab's always a fun story. Everybody enjoys it, but I never thought I would get to be on that platform.
Well, I think you just introduced the new catchphrase for Akron. Akron, the stepping stone to the world. I'm going to connect you with the mayor because I think we got something here.
There we go.
Are you a speaker by nature? Is this something that was natural for you to get up on stage and talk to people?
No, I was one of those. I feel like I read like a sixth grader sometimes. Like, you know, I was that kid in class when everybody's taking a paragraph and going around the room type of thing. I would somehow try to duck or dodge or go to the bathroom before right before my paragraph. I never like standing up in front of people. But I think when you're passionate about something, your topic, your career, anything like that, it's much easier to brag about, right? When you're talking about something you love, like your kids, anything, you almost don't stop. So I never practiced or had that skill set. And I think being on the road and just practicing on the fly, like we were saying, when curious people stop us, it was just, I got used to it and it's just practice made perfect in that sense. But no, every time I get up on stage, it's still, I get that nervous. I drink way too much water beforehand. All those like little nervous tics, I still have them. But once I get up there, I love it. I like to think people are laughing at the story and not at me type of thing, but it's just the laughs make me more comfortable. So
that's a good point. You know, if you love what you're doing, even if you don't like to, if you don't like to get up on stage and being that person in the spotlight, you'll be able to talk about it, which, you know, isn't the same as if you're working for someone else, doing something you don't particularly love, doesn't work out the same way. Well, I think this is some great tips. I hope that if you're listening to this, you've enjoyed this. I think, you know, every episode we end with three questions. Are you ready for some quiz questions?
Sure.
All right. So I went with the nautical theme here, obviously with Captain Ahab. And so these are all three nautical water related questions. Let's see how you do. So question number one, let me ask this first, G, how many, U.S. states have you been to? Do you know?
42, I want to say 41, 42, 43, something. I want to give or take plus or minus.
Yeah. Okay. Well, a question here is about, which American state has the most ocean coastline? So which American state touches the most amount of ocean water? Is it Florida, California, or Alaska?
I want to say Alaska, but I feel like it's a trick.
I don't trick people too many times. I usually say it's good to go with your gut.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Alaska then.
There you go. So Alaska, yes it is. Have you been up to Alaska?
No, we have a number of things to check off up there, but it hasn't, that seems like a trip. A lot of places when we're traveling far, we don't want to just go for a week. We really want to invest time there. So that's one of those trips that's we want to devote a month to one way or another.
Yeah, I think that would be great. The fishing boats up there, I mean, that would seem like a natural for the captain and you. Yeah. Yeah. So Alaska has a 6,640 miles of ocean coastline. Any guesses? This isn't part of the quiz. Any guesses of which state has the least?
The least?
Northeast. Yeah.
I don't know. What is it? Connecticut? New Jersey?
You're close. New Hampshire.
New Hampshire. Oh, right. 13, just the little. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Okay, great. Hey, you're one for one so far. Question number two. There are tons of sayings and cliches that we use today. They get their origins from nautical life. Which of the following expressions comes from the saying for being quiet and that originated from life on a ship? Is it A, hush up, B, shut up, C, pipe down, or D, zip it?
We'll say pipe down.
You got it. Well done. Yeah, pipe down. So pipe, it was referring to, do you know the origin of this one?
No, it just sounded like something. That was a complete guess, but I'm sure, yeah, the pipe is, go ahead, tell me. that a
meme? Yeah, I was gonna let you if you knew you should, but so a pipe referred to the captain's or officer's whistle, and they would blow it at the end of a shift, so the crew would go down, or in other words, to the deck when they're done with their shift. So pipe down. Right, good alternative when you've got kids. I've used it plenty of times. All right, that's 2 for 2. Let's see if you can go 3 for 3. I think you got this one. All right, so we know that Captain Ahab is a wannabe pirate, and pirates are still a real thing today, as I think most people realize with some events that have happened not too long ago. So which part of the world currently gets the most pirate attacks? Is it the Caribbean? Is it the Tasmanian Sea, an area between Australia and New Zealand? Or is it the Gulf of Guinea off of Western Africa there?
Oh, Western Africa.
Bingo, you got it. 3 for 3, well done, Jig and Captain Ahab. I'm sure you were getting the inspiration from him there.
Yeah, something like that.
Your ear.
Yeah, I was glad you didn't ask any like, how many feet in a nautical mile or anything like that. That would have definitely embarrassed me. But
yeah, I try not to embarrass it too often. But so that movie, Captain Phillips, of course, was based on life of part of the Somalian pirates right off there on the coast. So well done. Awesome to have you on the podcast, Jeeg. Before we wrap up here, tell our listeners if they want to learn more about you and follow along on Ahab's adventures, how can they do that?
Yeah, so Googling Ahab's Adventures will bring you everywhere or to everything you need, but it's at Ahab's Adventures on just about all the social media we have, and ahabsadventures.com is where we have over 9,000 pictures of 200 plus different adventures, whether it was a road trip or a different country or whatever you can think of. Everything we've done is documented on that site.
Yeah,
and of course, there's the TEDx Akron talk too. That really sums it up in 12 minutes.
Yeah. Good stuff. Check it out. Put it on your list to follow one of those on your favorite social media and be a part of the adventure. Be part of the list. One last question, Ed, before we wrap up here, what happens to Captain Ahab when you're done with him?
So just like I got him, at some point, there'll be a new caretaker, and it doesn't have to be somebody, you know, it doesn't have to be my great nephew or, you know, or anything like that. It's everybody we meet becomes a part of our family and takes a seat around this table that we have, the captain's table. So it's eventually I will pass them on. And like I said, hopefully I can dabble a little more in this hobby that I mentioned. We'll see. Time will tell. This is the first podcast I think I've actually mentioned that silversmithing thing on. So I'm held to it now.
Yeah. Well, we'll watch for more information about that. Well, thank you, Jeeg, for being on the show.
No problem. Cheers.
3 for 3 is produced by the marketing experts at Clyden & Associates. Clyden is a full-service marketing agency that has been bringing ideas to life for over 45 years. Head to Clyden.com to see their work and learn more.